this is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4 head on. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Monday evening or Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon, depending on where you are. It's Tuesday afternoon here. Pardon me. And I'm sitting here playing with the old Firefox over here, trying to get into the chat room and not having any luck. I think that there's a local domain name problem, server problem around here somewhere. Can't get to the Sydney Morning Herald or nothing, so have no communications with the home studio, but hey, we're good at running this thing blind. I was talking about this soap opera that we got going on over here in this local state government, which is just it's so bad, it's funny. Local councilors, you know, trading sexual favors for approvals on building projects and all kinds of other crazy stuff. One former state MP is up on child sex charges. There's just anything, you know, if you had a soap opera about a state government, this would just feed storylines for months. And the premier here, Morris Yemma, he's leading the most inept, corrupt, self-serving mob of crooks. I mean, absolutely unbelievable the stuff that's been going on in this state. Millions of dollars on some sort of fancy schmancy ticketing system for the buses here that after 20-something million dollars, maybe 30-something million dollars, it's been just stopped completely because it was old technology from another state that no one wanted, and so there's just more money thrown down the old crapper. But then all this stuff with sex trade for, and I kept waiting for the opposition to really, and the federal opposition, the liberals, to just completely, you know, jump on this. And, you know, there's been not what I would have expected in response, but I think I just found out why. The inquiry that's looking into all this has found out that who got the biggest payoffs in all of this stuff going on in Wollongong? The Liberal Party. The Federal Liberal Party, as in John Howard's old mob. The Daily Telegraph has a story here saying the Federal Liberal Party was the largest beneficiary of political donations from one of the allegedly corrupt developers named in the Wollongong Sex for Development scandal. More than $60,000 of political donations to the party were recorded by the Australian Electoral Commission in 2005 as coming from the Kolaris group. Now, there were two groups that this woman had relations with that both got approvals for things that probably shouldn't have been approved where they were. And it's just comical. And what makes the whole thing really pathetic is that the opposition, a party that I don't like, is so much more pathetic that they can't represent themselves as a suitable alternative government to this mob that's been running this state. It's a handover from Carr's government and privatized, privately owned highways and, you know, for-profit tunnel systems and, you know, just all this selling off of infrastructure. And one thing that he thought about doing but didn't do because he heard so much negative response to it was privatizing the electrical sector here. Well, Morris Yemma's going for it. And people in his own party, in his own government, are not into it. They want to rent out all the generation systems, to sell off the entire retail arm of the power grid here in Australia. And history has told us that this never leads to good things. It only leads to money being made and put into private pockets. So there was a huge walkout today. I think numbers weren't quite as large as they were hoping, but I do know from someone that works in a government agency here in New South Wales that all full-time Roddy Ra employees were told that they couldn't have today off as a personal day, or if you're going to be sick, you had to have a doctor's note, Roddy Ra. So in other words, don't take the day off to go and support the electrical workers' unions down in the city. So, but these kind of tactics, they won't be able to pull for long, considering the government's going to overturn most of this bizarre industrial relations stuff that the Howard government put in. But just watching, you know, there's only a handful of states in this country. So, you know, for one to really stand out as being so bad, and I think New South Wales has got to be the worst. Public transportation here's crap. And the one thing that works, the electrical grid, which works great. Never had the power go out since we've lived in this house, touch wood. He wants to privatize that, the one thing that still works. Anyway, just rather comical. As the Labor Party, you know, takes over the federal government, seeing this really corrupt state government finally have its dirty laundry aired. And as all this stuff comes out, it seems that the other side of politics is just as bad. So there's something, and I've said this for years, that there's something very kind of mob-ish about New South Wales. You know, I always felt like every trickster in the country lived here. And that's not trying to paint the entire population of Sydney, but it has a very kind of mobbish feel to it when you look at these things of like developers and local councils and it's all about revenue raising from the population. It's crazy. But anyway, we got a track of the day, which I think we should get to. And just kind of looking around, looking for things, and didn't have anything in particular that I was trying to capture the essence thereof. So I figured I'd go here. I don't know if you all have heard of this young lady. An Australian, and the name is, I've lost the name, oh my god, I can't get to the website. oh my god, no web, I'm in terrible shape. But anyway, as I get the information that I want. My, oh my, come on, get there. Oh, can't get to Google now. Oh. I think I'm still on there. Nothing else seems to be working.
You're still on air, John.
Okay, right on. It's all just falling apart over here, Bob. But without further ado, why don't we play this? Which I sent you Scar, right? Off of
correct.
The Sound of White, and I can't believe I'm having this brain fart. What's your name, Bob?
Looking for that. here she is. Here she is. Missy Higgins.
Missy Higgins. I'm sorry, Missy. And when you listen to her, tell me if you don't hear, Bob, when you listen to her phrasing, tell me if you don't hear an influence from James Taylor here. I don't know if she's gotten any exposure over there. She's a household name here over a couple of years. She actually plays piano. She actually plays guitar. She can actually really sing. And she's kind of the record industry's bit of real playing darling at the moment. And she's done very, very well. And it's very nice music. So without further ado, Miss Missy Higgins. Roll it, Bob.
Trust them, trust me. Then she pulled in my stitches one by one. Looked at my insides, clicking her tongue, and said, "These will all have to come undone." Although my old self was hard to find, you can bathe me in your finest wine, but I'll never give you mine, 'cause I'm a little bit tired of fearing that I'll be the bad fruit nobody buys. Tell me, did you think we'd all dream the same? And
Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that hit too close to home? Doesn't that make you shiver? The way things could have gone. And doesn't it feel peculiar? But everyone wants a little more. So that I do remember to never go that far. Could you leave me with a
There you go, Missy Higgins. She does some nice stuff. It's just kind of nice. And that's off of her first album, and I believe she's touring on a second one. There's an interesting thing that kind of came up a couple of weeks ago. Here in Australia, it seems that all of the bands that are coming up, like actual bands that play rock bands, seems like they're all coming out of Western Australia. And there's been a debate about pokey machines, you know, the poker machines, which New South Wales has something like one-third of the world's pokey machines. They're in like every pub, every club, every bar. Except for Western Australia. They don't have them in pubs. And it makes one wonder, could it be that the bands actually have places to play in which to get signed? I think it's a possibility. But I thought that was interesting. I didn't quite really made the connection, but it came up recently that, in the past 2 years, most of the bands, the actual bands, have been coming out of Western Australia. So there you go. I think every band should start doing covers of the Whitlams' Blow Up the Pokies. It's a sign of solidarity. I think that they should go ahead and ban them all in all the states. But that's a whole other story. Hey, have you heard about this Doomsday Seed Bank? Get some of these ominous names for things. But basically, it says what it is. The Arctic Doomsday Seed Vault will open this week, according to the Press Association. The Svalbard Global Seed Vault is the world's insurance policy on a host of threats that could destroy important crops. From global warming and war to natural disasters like drought and flood and wildfire. The vault's initial repository would include 250,000 varieties, 10 million seeds from virtually every country in the world, according to the association. All that can be seen of the vault outside the mountains is a concrete wedge, inside which a 410-foot tunnel goes deep into the hillside, ending in three vaults with airlock doors, keypad entry, stone and plastic integrated concrete walls. The air has been cooled down to between minus 15 and minus 20 degrees centigrade, but Norwegian meteorologists have calculated that without power, the vaults could still be below freezing 200 years from now under the worst climate change scenario. And I saw this being reported on one of the local television news things. And in the report, they said that skeptics of the project had doubts about the stimulus for this project, because questions still float out there about who actually owns the seed once they're deposited. I see the need for having such a place. Now, in this television news story, they didn't say anything about who was suspected to be behind this. But what makes me wonder is, okay, is this a GM Foods outfit, a biotech company, or companies that are behind this. And I wish that they had reported a little bit more on exactly, a little more detail on those concerns. I mean, it sounds like a good idea. Sounds like the right place to build it. Sounds like a good idea in general. But I just get the impression we're not getting the full story. What do you reckon? And you know about us shooting down that satellite. And first of all, I was thinking that in the States, this must have been plugged as a cheap rah-rah-rah America moment where, you know, you're basically shooting a bullet up in the air and hoping the target runs into it. And when the Bush administration gives a reason for them doing something, I'm sorry, I have to doubt it. You know, they said it was the fuel that could cause contamination. Fair enough. I'll have my doubts. But brings up another interesting situation that, you know, we talk about the pollution being pumped out into the skies and into our water systems and everything else. And one thing that we don't think about, and I've reported on this before, is the amount of crap that's floating in our, you know, upper atmosphere from all of the basically space junk. And from the Guardian piece here that says the amount of debris orbiting the Earth has reached a critical level. Old satellite parts, solar panels, and the odd astronaut's lost glove pose a serious risk to space missions. A report from the International Association of the Advancement of Space Safety is calling for stringent international laws to be brought in urgently to avert a tragedy. So, you know, we've been shooting all this crap up for years, and it's all just been collecting up debris. And this has been of a concern. It's not really a new concern. I mean, I've been reading, you know, about every 6 months a story comes out on this. So when we blew up this satellite, you know, instead of it coming down, virtually burning up, and this is removing whether or not the fuel thing's real, but we blasted out of the sky, and now it's in a million parts, adding to the crap. I mean, this is just the you know, another episode in the human existence, isn't it? We just kind of, you know, shit in the nest, and wonder why it's a mess. Oh, this is so strange having no connection to the studio, but I'm coping. But they continue on saying, the threat posed by orbiting debris can only be allayed by extending civil aviation standards into space, says the report, which is to be presented to the United Nations in April. Failure to act now to regulate space to protect property and human life would be pure folly, says the association's director, Tommaso Scaba. Professor Richard Crowniter, who is representing the UK at a UN space safety meeting in Vienna, agrees. Eventually, binding international civil aviation-style laws will have to come. So we have regulations regarding this when it comes to regular civil air travel. So, you know, but you know, if you think about it, you know, we've been shooting stuff into space for decades now. There's the potential for a lot of crap up there. And some of that crap actually does come down. It has come down before. and it'll probably come down again. So, you know, blasting it into a million pieces so it stays up there, is that really, really, really smart? Oh, where are we going to? Got some stuff that Gene sent me. Can't get at a couple things that I wanted to have for today. What a drag. Definitely think a name server problem over on this side of the world. Oh, the fun of the internet. It's funny, though, you know, it's only partially down because I can connect to the studio and I can do a bunch of other things, but I can't see many websites, many of them that are mine, which really makes a man nervous. From fizz.org, fizzorg.org, or fizzorg.com, there it is, fizzorg.com. Gene sent me this, a new world record for solar to grid conversion efficiency. And this is one of the aspects of renewable energy that making strides here could have the greatest benefit in the shorter term, which is to efficiently, you know, take energy. We're talking the other night to a caller about local generation and how we need to get away from the old idea of, you know, a central power plant feeding via grid, you know, huge expanses of land, and that it has to be more smaller integrated grids. And the more efficiently we can exchange power back into the grid, going the other direction from households, the more viable these systems become. It says here, though, Sandia and Sterling Energy Systems set a new world record for solar-to-grid conversion efficiency. The record establishes a new solar-to-grid conversion efficiency of 31.25%. The old record, which has stood since 1984, was 29.4%. The conversion efficiency is calculated by measuring the net energy delivered to the grid by dividing it by the solar energy hitting the dish mirrors. Auxiliary loads such as water pumps, computers, and tracking motors are accounted for in the net power measurement. So this is, you know, exactly how much actual light energy is being converted into electrical energy that gets back onto the grid. So I'm really amazed that, you know, that the record stood for so long. I think since 1984 we would have been able to break that. But I guess it just shows how it was sometime in the funny that mid-80s that investment and whatnot in these technologies suddenly just fell off. It was gone. Goodbye. Not to be seen again. And so we lost some 20 years. The fact that it took 24 years to break this record says something about the last couple of decades. That's shocking, actually. That's more than shocking. All right. Let's see if I can get something else to come up.
understand. It would appear that John Fox has been knocked off by his ISP down in Australia. So as a result of that, what we'll do is just we'll play some of John's favorite rock and roll for about the next 21 minutes, if that's okay, if that's okay with you guys. He always gets a kick out of this one, so hopefully will you. Oops, well, he didn't get a kick out of that one. Don't you hate it when song titles get mixed up in your system?
Whoa! They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. Call me the big pill. Dr. Funkenstein, the disco fiend with the monster sound, the cool goo with the bum transplant.
Hip bone connected to my thigh bone connected to my leg bone connected to my ankle bone.
I get so hung up on bones. Dr. Funkenstein here.
Preoccupied and dedicated to the preservation of the motion of hips.
We love you, funk you, Funkenstein. Your funk is the best.
Talk!
Take my body and give it to mine. You walk with the rest.
Kiss me on my ego.
Swift lippin', ego trippin', and body snatch.
Don't blow your mind.
Coming to you directly from the mothership. Pulling up the last leg of the feet pump. Funk with your mind.
We love to funk you, Funkenstein. Your funk is the best.
Let me hear it for me.
Take my body, give it to mine. You funk with the rest. Hit me with the one and win. If you like, hit me again.
Well,
we
right.
Love to Funkenstein.
A microbiologically speaking, when I start churning, burning, and turning,
it'll make your atoms move so fast, expanding your molecules, causing a friction fire, burning you on your neutron, causing you to scream, hit me in the proton. Baby.
Y'all got your sunglasses on out there.
Nothing but a party, baby. Oh. sipping and ego tripping, body snatching.
The bigger the headache, the bigger the pill. They call me the big pill.
Fucking time, you're pumped, it's the best.
That concludes tonight's edition of Foxed Up, in the absence of John Fox, who has been whacked by his ISP down in Australia. Our apologies. I'm sure his apologies. I'm sure he'd like to have finished out the program as it was. But that being the case, some eventualities cannot be gotten around. So, as John would say, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow. And that's it for another broadcast day on the Horn. Stick around. Mark Levine is next. Right here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head-On Radio Network.
And the sign said, long-haired freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat. I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat. I said, imagine that. That's me working for you. Whoa. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign?
sight. So I jumped on the fence and yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner."
Membership card to get inside.
Thank you. And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I have a question for you. What is it about a man who betrays us, a traitor, that makes us hate him more than evil itself? When I heard over the weekend that Ralph Nader was entering the presidential race, I couldn't help but think back to other great betrayals. There's, of course, the famous Julius Caesar play by William Shakespeare, where his longtime good friend Brutus is stabbing him in the back. He turns and says, "A tu, Brute?"